You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, February 17, 2025. Going the distance. Sentinel's Texas Gulf Link makes big strides forward in export terminal race. Published by Lisa Scheidler. In the race to build the next deepwater crude oil export terminal in the Gulf of Mexico, Sentinel Midstream's proposed Texas Gulf Link, or TGL, has become one of the frontrunners. TGL's plan gained its crucial Record of Decision, or ROD, approval from the U.S. Department of Transportation's Maritime Administration, or MARAD, on February 14th. But there is still some distance to go before a final investment decision, or FID, is reached. In today's RBN blog, we'll discuss Sentinel's TGL plan, why it might be uniquely positioned to move forward, and the other contenders still in play. Let's start with a refresher on the TGL project and efforts to build a deepwater export terminal in the Gulf of Mexico. TGL, which at one point was considered a dark horse in the multi-year competition, would feature a deepwater platform able to load a tanker at a rate of 85,000 barrels per hour, 2 million barrels per day, which would allow it to fully load a very large crude carrier, or VLCC, in one day. The platform, located nearly 30 miles offshore Freeport, Texas, would be connected via the 42-inch diameter Texas Gulf Link pipeline to an onshore storage terminal at Jones Creek in Brazoria County. At the onshore facility, about 9 million barrels of above-ground tanks would be supplied from the Houston area, including the Webster Terminal, giving the project access to significant volumes of Permian-originated crude oil, in addition to other grades feeding that market. We've written a great deal in the RBN blogosphere about the fierce, multi-year competition to build a deepwater terminal, see Gulf Coast Time. U.S. crude export volumes took off in the 2010s and were expected to continue growing along with production throughout the 2020s, driving the market to seek the most efficient export options. Prior to 2018, numerous terminals were proposed along the Gulf Coast, including a number of offshore single-point mooring, or SPM, facilities that would be able to fully load a VLCC without reverse lightering. However, in the downturn of 2020, some of those projects were scrapped, leaving four developmental projects and the one in-service offshore facility in Louisiana. Currently, only the Louisiana Offshore Oil Port, or LOOP, can fully load VLCCs, but because it provides both import and export services, it only loads about two ships for export per month on average, far below the one per day a couple of the proposed SPM projects could manage. In addition to TGL, the other three projects, Energy Transfer's Blue Marlin, Phillips 66's Blue Water Texas, and Enterprise's Spot, are vying to build a deepwater crude oil export terminal. Here's a quick refresher on the other three projects. Number 1. Enterprise's Spot would be located in 115 feet deep waters about 30 nautical miles off the coast of Freeport. Spot would have two SPMs and the ability to simultaneously moor two VLCCs and load one per day. Crude would flow to Spot on a pair of 36-inch diameter pipelines from two Enterprise storage and distribution terminals, the existing Echo Terminal southeast of Houston, 8.4 million barrels of tank storage, and the proposed Oyster Creek Terminal north of Freeport, 4.8 million barrels of planned capacity, in south-central Brazoria County. Number 2. Energy Transfer's Blue Marlin Project, located off southwestern Louisiana, would include a new 37-mile, 42-inch diameter pipeline from the company's Nederland terminal to the northern terminus of the existing Stingray pipeline in Cameron Parish, Louisiana. Blue Marlin would be capable of loading VLCCs at the rate of up to 2 million barrels per day, i.e., up to one VLCC per day. Number 3. Phillips 66 and Trafigura's Blue Water Project, located about 15 nautical miles off the coast of Corpus Christi. The offshore port's loading rate would be as high as 80,000 barrels per hour and could load two VLCCs simultaneously. It would be expected to handle 16 VLCCs monthly, or about 1 million barrels per day. So, how much have the prospects brightened for TGL? MARAD sent out an enthusiastic endorsement of the project, touting the Trump administration's efforts to prioritize domestic energy production. It was the latest in a slew of red tape regulatory steps that Sentinel's TGL has knocked off its checklist. All of the terminals vying to get built have dealt with a sluggish permitting process, particularly in the last 4 years under the Biden administration. Despite those headwinds, the project wrapped up its National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, review following its final public hearing in September 2024 and received approval from Texas Governor Greg Abbott later that month. From a permitting perspective, these strides put TGL way out in front of everybody but SPOT. But TGL isn't at the finish line yet. The project must satisfy the ROD conditions to be granted the license to construct, own, and operate the deepwater port. On the bright side, Sentinel will be navigating these conditions under a new, and undoubtedly more energy-friendly administration. And here's where the race really heats up. What's really going to separate the winner from the rest of the pack will be the ability to secure the financial backing and offtake agreements needed to make a final investment decision, or FID. While securing a ROD approval is a big step, it's not a guarantee that a terminal will ultimately move forward. For instance, SPOT received its ROD more than 2 years ago in November 2022 and received its deepwater port license nearly a year ago, in April 2024. However, Enterprise CEO Jim Teague said earlier this month the company hadn't yet secured the customer commitments needed to justify the massive investment. A number of factors caused his firm to ease off the gas pedal, including a shifting crude export landscape and the impact of geopolitical events like Russia's invasion of Ukraine, factors that would also impact TGL and the other projects. While the company hasn't officially pulled the plug, Teague made it clear that without sufficient volumes, fees, and contract terms, SPOT will remain in a holding position. While there are some similarities between the projects, each project has its own benefits and challenges, as we profiled in our prior Deepwater Export Dock series. Sentinel's status as an independent midstream player does give TGL a unique advantage. There are no marketing arms, upstream exploration and production, or E&P entities, downstream refineries or other entities affiliated that Sentinel's customers would have to compete against. This feature holds considerable appeal for some, as it pushes TGL to focus on efficiency without having an incentive to favor one system over others. Additionally, it's our understanding that TGL has relatively attractive rates and terms compared to some other projects. This was a situation we anticipated in our January prognostications blog. After nearly 7 years of development, none of these four proposals have reached FID, with permitting delays a major source of the frustration. Beyond that, developers must also deal with shifting market dynamics. While there are many efficiencies to be gained by a deepwater export dock, the market has undeniably changed since these projects were conceived prior to the pandemic. Initially, growing U.S. crude exports to Asia, 15,000 nautical miles from the Gulf Coast, were a major driver for the VLCC efficiencies that would be attained by these deepwater export projects. Since that time, exports have shifted more heavily towards Europe, which now takes 45% of exports compared to Asia's 40%, driven by demand shifts due to the Russia-Ukraine war and declining North Sea production. The shorter trip to Europe, 5,000 nautical miles, diminishes the economic advantage of VLCCs, making shippers more hesitant to commit to long-term capacity deals for the SPM terminals. This shift has favored smaller tankers, reducing the immediate need to fully load VLCCs offshore. With U.S. crude exports averaging around 4.1 million barrels per day in 2024 and 3.9 million barrels per day so far this year, and with Gulf Coast export capacity already around 7 million barrels per day, see our crude Voyager for details. It's no surprise that potential offtakers are proceeding with caution. Granted, there are still good reasons a deepwater export terminal could get built. But it is more difficult today to get shippers signed up than anticipated years ago when many projects were originally conceived. But it's also true that the geopolitical landscape is continually evolving, now seemingly more quickly than ever. Whether Sentinel can secure the necessary commitments to reach FID remains to be seen, but with SPOT on hold, TGL is in the best position it has ever been in. It's clear the race is not a sprint, it's a marathon where competitors must endure. If demand for U.S. crude exports ticks up, Sentinel may very well be the one to cross the finish line first. Time will tell. The Distance is a song by American alternative rock band Cake. Released in August 1996, The Distance was the first single from the band's second album, Fashion Nugget, and is considered one of their most popular songs. It was written by the band's guitarist at the time, Greg Brown. Cake was formed in August of 1991, in Sacramento, California by John McCree, singer, Vince DiFiore, trumpet, Greg Brown, guitar, Frank French, drums, and Sean McFessel, bass, who soon left and was replaced by Gabe Nelson. Following the self-release of its debut album, Motorcade of Generosity, the band was signed to Capricorn Records in 1995 and released its first single, Rock and Roll Lifestyle, which hit number 35 on the Modern Rock Tracks music chart and was featured on MTV's 120 Minutes. French and Nelson then left the band and were replaced by Todd Roper and Victor Damiani. Cake's second album, 1996's Fashion Nugget, went platinum on the strength of its lead single, The Distance. Following a tour of Europe and the United States, both Brown and Damiani announced they were leaving Cake, which led to speculation about the band's future. McCree eventually recruited Zon McCurdy to take over on guitar, and persuaded Nelson to return. Prolonging the Magic, the band's third album, was released in 1998 and went platinum, having shipped over 1 million units. This was followed 3 years later by Comfort Eagle, the band's first album on Columbia Records, featuring the single Short Skirt / Long Jacket, which hit number 7 on the Modern Rock Tracks chart. Following a series of tours, including several versions of the Unlimited Sunshine Tour, the band released Pressure Chief in 2004, its second and last album on Columbia. After creating its own label, Upbeat Records, the band released Showroom of Compassion in 2011, which became its first album to debut at the top of the Billboard charts, selling 44,000 copies in the first week after release. Their studio output has been minimal since 2011, although they have continued to tour and have occasionally hinted at an upcoming album.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.